first wife was a very bubbly person. And my marriage was a disaster. Now, I went out with two different women, and one of them was this very bubbly personality, and we could talk for hours. And then this other woman that I went out with was this sweet, to me, mystic, calm, even-keeled person. And I always thought when I was being miserable in my marriage, this is what I needed. But I really didn't have such a good time. But am I just like replaying my mistake? What's going on? Like maybe I'm just replaying my mistake and I should push myself towards here because this is really what I need. So I said, fully expecting to hear the complete opposite answer, I said, well, you have a group of friends? He said, yeah. So what are your friends like? Oh, they're very labadick. Said, oh, you fit with the bubbly, the labadick. What went wrong in your first marriage had nothing to do with her personality style. And then we got into what else it was, and he was able to sort of differentiate and see, oh, he was associating his misery and thinking that this was the answer. But I said to him, if you go over here and try and push yourself, you know, this square peg into this round hole, and it's not really you, you're just going to have misery here, and misery, that wasn't your problem, and this is what your type, so to speak. You just have to make sure she doesn't have the other things that were the actual problem in your marriage, because it wasn't the bubbly personality that was the problem. And in another situation I can think of more recently, a young woman came and she came up to me to talk to me at something, and she was talking about her friend who was, all of their friends were looking at this girl. This was a single girl, and they're all looking at her, and she calls and she talks about, you know, what the boy that she's engaged to did and said to her, but how could she make it better? And she's obviously just miserable, miserable and miserable and miserable and miserable. And the girls are saying, you know, don't you see, you're not happy, like, what's going on? And he would lecture her for hours and all sorts of things. And finally I said to her, you know, but she says, like, maybe, you know, with a guy, you need to lift him up, you need to make him reassured, you need to this. I said, okay, but tell her to look at the other relationships in her life. And that's when she said, but she doesn't have relationships. She doesn't have, like, guy friends. I said, no, you're her friend. Does she have to do this with you? Is she miserable in her friendships? Does she have friendships with people who are this big of a drain? And does she enjoy that? And she called me up back later. I just want to tell you, like, it clicked for her. Oh, it doesn't have to be a whole different animal. Yes, men and women are different, and there are core differences. But just because he's a man doesn't mean that if I'm not enjoying the fact that everything has to be gone over 500 times, and nothing can just be a quick, like, oh, I didn't mean that, I meant this, and we move on, and I can see that my friendships are that way, you can look for that in a spouse. It doesn't have to be different than what you look for in a husband, than what you have in your friendships. And so when I talk about this, it sort of helps people figure out that they do know what they like and who they enjoy being with as a person on an emotional level. And they should think about and talk about, or at least investigate, what kind of emotional person they're dating. But then the question comes up, like, how do you do that? Like, I'm going to go out, you know, X amount of times. It's not a friendship. My friendships that I like and I value and I see the positive qualities and the emotional, you know, compatibility with, I developed over years. I know Shani from when I'm in kindergarten. What? I have 7 times to decide or whatever. And that's when it's sort of, we need to understand that it's not about time. It's not about the amount of time. That's not our issue, really. in the way that we date. It's that the kids, so to speak, are not educated in how to get to that emotional core, how to investigate it, how to find it, how to evaluate it, how to assess it. It can be done in a short amount of time, but you got to know how to do it. But we're going to take a break from that for a minute because and shift back because it's going to all come together at the end. Don't worry, I'm not dropping you at the high point of how. No, we're going to get back to that. The part two that I usually start at that I want to pick up here because it how to investigate for all of this is the same. And so we're going to talk about it all together after we talk about what is a healthy, what is necessary, what are the qualities that are necessary that are present in a healthy relationship, regardless of whether the person is, you know, a PhD or, you know, high school, not more than high school, whether the person is, you know, from this community or that community, whether the person is this kind of religious or that kind of religious. What are the qualities that's necessary in every person, in every relationship, in order for it to be seen as a healthy one?
Trust.
Trust.
Respect.
Respect. Come on, guys, come on. What else? Trust,
generosity.
Respect, generosity.
Empathy.
Honesty.
Loyalty.
Right?
Ambition.
Well, yeah. If I need someone ambitious, that's my personal. Maybe I do. But in a healthy relationship, maybe ambition to have a good relationship. Right? But these qualities, you know, and
patience.
And
fortunately,
what?
Patience
is always helpful, that's for sure.
Party is aware of their own emotions.
Yes. So an awareness, maturity.
A lot of stuff.
Well, some of them they can grow together, but if they don't have these other things, it's a problem. And the one positive with the fact that they didn't print my handout is that you didn't have it in front of you. But what I could tell you is that everything you said is exactly what I had on my list. Now, why is that? Because people, even if you've never studied this or you've never read an article on it, we sort of know what it takes to have a healthy relationship. Honesty, trust, respect, care, patience,
responsibility.
All of these things are things that are, or variations of them, are things that everybody needs to have in order to be a healthy spouse. And we also all understand who is supposed to give this and who is supposed to get this?
Both.
Thank you. Thank you. Good answer. Right. Both. That both are supposed to have these qualities. Both are supposed to be giving these qualities. And both are supposed to be receiving these qualities. The problem, though, is that often, and I mentioned this when we started, often when somebody finds their list, their other list, the list of, you know, spiritually like this, intellectually like that, familially like the other one, they just think that if you're my list and you want to get married, you must have this. I'm sure it's included. It's like, you know, you buy the car, and if it's a certain level, then certain things are included. Don't know exactly the details, but you know what I mean, that kind of attitude. And often when I'll see somebody and there's problems going on, and they'll say to me, but he was so popular. I wanted that popular, you know, Heverman. Everybody likes them. Everybody likes him. So how could he be stingy? Ungenerous, not generous. Or she was so, you know, put together and with it, and she could be nasty. He's so into his whatever. He could be dishonest. I didn't think to look for that. I found all these other things. I just assumed this came along. These are, everybody knows. I could ask any group. It could be girls. It could be adults. It could be this religious. That I could ask any group. It doesn't matter. Married a little time, married a lot of time. Everybody comes up with the same list. And that's good, except that then people assume that everybody has those qualities. If I found my list, the person also is kind and generous and trustworthy and honest and respectful, etc. And unfortunately, that's just not true. It's just not true. And what people forget to do then is when they see something that might be a bit of a hint that this person isn't honest or isn't respectful or isn't trustworthy, they ignore it. They explain it away. They rationalize it. They say to themselves, oh, I must have misunderstood, because somebody who is my blah, 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 blah wouldn't also be this. Or they don't want to see it, you know. I don't want to see that, so I don't see it. Or I tell myself I didn't see it, that I was mistaken. And unfortunately, where that leads a number of people is in a really bad place, because the things that could have possibly been a cue weren't picked up on. And the other thing that's the problem is that often anything of this nature that would come out during dating is not going to be massive. You're only talking about possible subtle cues to negative characteristics. Most people do not go on a date and start a fight or become obnoxious or tell someone something disrespectful or tell someone something that's easily found out to be a lie. They just don't. And so anything of this nature is going to be of a more subtle nature. So that kind of, although I hopefully you'll get it in the handout, I did include in this handout some of the things that would be specific cues for negatives that would demonstrate a lack of these characteristics, a lack of these positive characteristics. I'm not going to read them all out. You'll hopefully get it in the email and look through it. But that leads us back.
What's your email?
They're going to email you the handout. They had not printed out my handout, but they made sure. They said they will make sure that everybody that came is going to email my handout to you. So when you leave, if you want to make sure, go find, there's a blonde young woman upstairs and ask her. She has like long blonde hair.
Maybe we can pass around the...
Or you can pass around a paper with your email address. That's fine, too.
If anyone has a bigger sheet spare,
that would be good. Okay. Okay. That brings us back to that place that we veered off. Which is this question of how do we find out about emotional compatibility? Great, now we know what it is. Now we can talk about it. Now we know we're supposed to look at our friends or help our child look at their friends to see who they're emotionally compatible with. How do we find that in such a short period of time? And now we're back to how do I find out about these characteristics, if they're there, if they're not there, in such a short period of time. And that's why I diverged at the point, because it's really all the same. It's really the same process. Tells us about has the opportunity to find out about emotional compatibility as well as about these characteristics through the same process, which I like to call shopping for the wedding dress. Excuse me, the two men who are here. I usually speak to girls, and they can relate. They've been thinking about their wedding dress since they're about three. So, the analogy that I like to use is the wedding dress, because everybody understands that everybody comes to their wedding in a wedding dress. Everybody comes to their wedding in a wedding dress. I often think to myself, you know, you can't say everybody. And I had a woman in my office who was talking about her parents, something. They got married in the DP camp after the war. I said, you know, I use this analogy, and I say everyone comes to the wedding in their wedding wear. But obviously, you know, she says, oh, no. I don't know what they made it out of, but I have a picture of her. She's in a white wedding dress in the camp, you know, getting married. So, oh, pretty much, I feel a little safer saying everybody comes to their wedding in a wedding dress. Now, people come to get their wedding dress in all different kinds of ways. That's what's very different. It might take them 3 weeks. It might take them 3 days. It might take them 3 months. They might get it at a gemach. They might borrow it from a friend's sibling. They might have it designer made. They might get it at a bridal shop. So it's going to take a different amount of time. It's going to come through different venues, but they're all going to come with their wedding dress. The other thing that is an absolute truth is that nobody comes to get their wedding dress for their wedding by holding it up, saying, yeah, I think that'll fit. Do you think that'll fit? Do you think it'll fit? Yeah? Okay. Let's wrap it up and I'll put it on the day of my wedding. But often, this is how the dating process is going. One of the biggest impediments, in my mind, sorry, to people really finding out the character and the emotional compatibility of the person they're dating is that they hold it up, their relationship. What do you think? Ma, what do you think he meant by that? Ta, what do you think she was meaning when she said that? Rabbi so-and-so, my Rebbe, what do you think? Mrs. So-and-so, my mentor from seminary, what do you think? What do you think? And the problem is that we answer. We answer. Why do we answer that question? It could be Dan Lekatzchus. Here is my child. I've always told my child. That's my job, right? If I'm the mom, isn't it my job to know more than them? Isn't it my job to tell them, to guide them, to grow them? But it's such a problem. That doesn't mean that there isn't a role for the parent. But the first thing needs to be that we as the parent, mentor, whoever, needs to say, you know, you need to get into the dress first. We need more information. I can't tell you from out here what it feels like to you to be in it. I can't feel your emotional compatibility for you. I can't feel if this person has the right characteristics. You got to be in it to feel it. And a lot of times people think, oh, you have to be in the relationship. Well, doesn't that mean that I have to date for, you know, 6 months? No. It means that when something comes up, when there's an issue, a question, a concern, it isn't brought to the person and said, should I be concerned or shouldn't I be concerned? And then the person answers. It means that when I bring a concern, when she brings a concern to me and she says, do you think he meant that? Do you think she's like this? I say, I don't know. Let's figure out how you're going to go and find out. Now, once you go and find out, and we're going to do some examples. Once you go and find out and you get that information, now we could maybe talk about it some more. Maybe I have more of a role or more of a job. But in the first place, I don't know what he meant by that. I mean, it has to be so crystal clear. You're an idiot. Well, you know what? Yeah, that means he's not a good guy. Okay. But that doesn't happen. That's not what happens. Do you think she really doesn't have the ability to be, you know, emotionally deep, or she really does? I don't know. Let's figure out how you're going to find that out. How are you going to investigate that from within the relationship? And so what that process does, and again, we're going to do some examples. What that process does, when you send the person back into the dress, into the relationship, does it pinch me? Does it pull me? Can I breathe? Can I sit? Can I eat? Can I dance? Can I not? Besides, for how does it really look on me? But, you know, how does it feel is more important, maybe. What it does is it gives the person the opportunity to feel that. And that tells them maybe there's an actual issue that is unclear, like just the Lemaisa, you know, other types of compatibility. He said something about, who cares if my, somebody just said this to me, who cares if my, I don't care if my wife does blank when we're married. Did he mean that we're not, does that mean that we're not hashkafically compatible? Does it mean that, okay, so there could be a situation where it tells you a specific thing about your compatibility if you go back and you question him about it. But it also tells you about those other two things. When I have a concern and I need to raise it to you, how do you respond? What does that feel like? What? How is that for me to talk through something with you? Do we have a similar style? And how do you do it? Are you generous about it? Are you understanding about it? Are you respectful about it? Are you honest about it? It has the ability to tell us so much in that short period of time that kids often have to date. But they have to know to do it. And they have to know to do it about things when it seems obvious. Oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm so concerned about blah, blah, whatever it is. And they bring that to you. Or when it was like, I don't know, whatever. She wanted to do this. And I thought it was a little weird, but it's fine. When it's, even if it's something little, it has to be investigated, because what else do you have in the dating experience? It's usually not big, major, colossal things. It's usually the subtler things. And so we have to go back into it. So I'm going to read a couple of examples, and you all are going to get some practice saying how you would advise this child, grown sort of child, to investigate this from within the relationship. You're supposed to have it in front of you, but you don't, so I'm going to read it to you. Okay, so the first example, and these are ones that were all sort of taken from my practice, from real situations, altered, so nobody's recognizable, and but they're real things, and things that have, some of them, things that have irked me, because I'll have people coming in and telling me that they said this to their whoever, to their mentor, to their parent, and the parent told them what they should feel or what they should think about it. Do I look good in the dress? Yes, you look good in the dress. And it makes me a little crazy, because I don't think that we can know that. They have to know it. However young they are, and however inexperienced they are, they still have to be part of this process for them to really find the person that they're going to be emotionally compatible with and well treated by. Okay, so the first example is this. She has all the qualities I know I'm looking for, but mostly it's me doing the talking. I don't know if she'll be more talkative when she knows me better or if that's just her. Everyone raves about her. And she has a group of friends, so it sounds like she must have more of a personality than I'm seeing, right? What do you think? So here's a boy, an actual boy, who was talking to me about the fact that she's just not so talkative. But everyone says she is, and she will be, and she's made promises. You know, the shotgun says, don't worry, she is, and she will be, and you don't have to worry about this. And he's saying to me, should I worry? I'm saying, I don't know. I have no idea if you should worry about it or not. How are you going to investigate it? How are you going to investigate it?
And? And bring out conversations where she has to talk.
And how could you, if you felt pressure...
Ask her directly.
Ask her directly. I'm doing so much of the talking. Are you more, you know, are you not comfortable doing the talking? Are you... Am I hogging the talking? I'm just that, you know. Does that feel weird to people? Like, oh my God, how could somebody say that to them? No? Yes? No, that it's a common reaction. That's why I'm asking.
Like, my son went up to with somebody, and he still didn't tell him why he broke up. Because he didn't want to embarrass her.
Well, that's what he wanted to break up. But this is somebody who looks, he's saying to the shotgun or whoever he's talking to and me, I like how she looks. I like the things about her. She has the qualities I'm looking for. She's the type I'm looking for, but she doesn't talk. So if I don't raise it, and I don't bring it out, then I'm gonna break up with her. But maybe I don't need to. Maybe if I raise it, there's a good explanation for it. And in fact, in this situation, she said, oh, you know, my teachers told me that it's really not sneeze to start a conversation. And it changed the whole dynamic of the relationship. He could have, if he had listened to, let's pretend, Rebbe X. Listen, Maishi, I know you. You're not going to be happy with a girl who's not talkative. If she doesn't have what to say, she could have all the milas in the world, but I know you. You're not going to be happy. He could listen to the shadchan who said, it's not a problem. You'll see. It might take till the engagement, but you'll see. And he could have gotten engaged, and it could have been a disaster because she didn't warm up. If he doesn't investigate it directly and give her the opportunity to either say, oh, really, you think so? Or, oh, my teachers told me it's not sneeze to start a conversation. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Now I can talk. He doesn't know. He could let something go that would really be great. He could get engaged to somebody he eventually wants to break the engagement with because everyone promised him it'll be different after they're engaged, and it wasn't. So without the direct, not if you're anyway breaking up, but without that direct interaction, you're really missing something. Does that make sense? Okay, let's try another one. Next, we've gone out 2 times, and at the end, this is a real one. This is really real. It's really crazy. But anyway, we've gone out 2 times, and at the end of both times, he said he's had a really good time, and he feels like we have so much in common. But when we speak to the shadchan, she says that he needs to think about it, and he's going to get back to her. My older sister thinks this is inconsiderate, and he must be too. The shadchan says there must be some logical explanation. What do you think? That he wants to know from you. She wants to know from you. He's after both first date and second date, told her how great it was, and then she speaks to the shadchan. The shadchan says, well, he needs to think about it. He's going to get back to me. She wants to know, does this mean he's an idiot? Does this mean he's, you know, a lowlife like her sister thinks? Does this mean he's... There must be, you know, the shotgun saying he's a great guy. There must be some explanation. What are you going to tell her? How are you going to tell her to handle it? Come on, guys. We're in a classroom. You have to answer.
It's too early to tell. Ask her. What did you mean by that?
Right. Yes. What? We have an ask. Yes. And.
Well, I don't know if she can ask yet at this point. What's she going to ask too?
She's going out with him.
Yeah, she's going out with him.
Yes, so did he say anything to think about it?
Well, after each date, at the end of each date, he tells her how amazing the date was. Then she goes home, she speaks to the shadchan, gives the shadchan a yes, and the shadchan said, well, he said he needs to think about it, and he's going to get back. But then he says yes again. And then this happens again. So now they're going out for the third time, or she's thinking, I'm going out for the third time because I already gave the shotgun yes, but should I write this guy off for having bad midos?
She could just say, I'm getting bad vibes here. I'm getting mixed vibes. From you, mixed vibes. When, you know, at the end of the day, when you say, I'm having a very good time, and I really enjoy your company, I go home and I feel great. About a couple of hours later, I just feel that, like, I don't know where I'm upset or where I'm at.
Right. Right.
And then they discuss it.
Or maybe a little less confrontational is just to discuss with them, how do you make important decisions? Do you just know about yourself, or are you the kind of person who has to talk to yourself?
He may be discussing with the Rebbe or something each time after every date.
Right, and the Rebbe's telling him he has to.
It's real and he can't get through to him until...
Right. But... The issue with that, I mean, I think that's a good discussion anyway, but the issue with that is that if it's not about this thing, he could sound really good on the theoretical topic, but if there's something going on that's not so nice, or potentially not so nice, and I don't talk about it directly, he could have a really good conversation on the theoretical of, you know, I like to talk things over, but that might or might not be what's going on in this. I would even suggest that if it's at the end of the third date, if he's saying he had a really good time, to at that moment say, you know, exactly like what you said. You know, that's, you know, me too, but I'm so confused. Because the, et cetera, et cetera, the last few times, blah, blah, blah. Because if the, it's not about this thing, it's very easy to talk in theories and to sound good. But when it's about the thing that's disturbing me, I get a much better handle on whether you're going to be understanding about it. Oh my God, you're right. I can't believe, you know, I didn't realize, and I had to, you know, my mother, you don't understand, my aunt had a son who went out and very quickly said yes, 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 and got engaged and had a broken engagement. Now my mother makes me wait and tells the shadchan he needs to think about it because she's so crazy over, you know, I shouldn't have a broken engagement like my cousin. Or he could say, what do you baby like this about everything? What's the big deal? What if we're not talking about the thing that's happening and this thing that I'm distressed about, I'm not going to have as good of a sense of what he's like emotionally or what it's like, what his character is, or what it's like to date this person. Because a lot of people, even who don't have great midos, can talk in theory about how they would do things and it can sound very pretty and wonderful. So it's great if the person has the possibility to actually deal with something directly, and it's only ever going to be these like wisps of things. We could wait and see, and if it doesn't happen the third time, oh, okay, it passed. But ultimately, we've missed an opportunity. Because how many things are going to come up really in the dating world for me to be able to say, hey, you know, I wanted to talk about something with you. In a real time opportunity.
So do you mean to say that you should discuss the questions any mistake that the boy does? Let's say he just drops her off and he just pulls away.
Does it bother her?
Like he pulls away. He didn't like maybe he didn't really realize it. He's like new to dating and he didn't really realize it.
So he should go. That's what you're saying, that he give him an opportunity to explain himself.
And some of these, listen, it's not an exact science, and you want to be able, you want to make sure that, you know, the person isn't coming off as being nitpicky. I'm not suggesting that either. But if it's something that's distressing to them, they can say, you know, oh, do you mind if you wait till I get inside? I'm just... It also isn't horrible to say certain things to the shadchan. But I feel like we give way too much to the shadchan, and then the shadchan fixes it up, and then it's fixed up. But is it fixed up and it wasn't important, or it's fixed up and it was really important to have that information? And I don't have a definitive about each and everything, and some of these things are going to be more... distressing or uncomfortable to raise than others. Being mechanech a boy about how to date properly, you know, about, you know, you know you're supposed to wait for me to get in, or even saying, do you mind waiting for me until I get in, can be more uncomfortable than, like, you really did do something. You really did tell me you had a great time and then told the shadchan that you had to think about it, and I'm just curious. That's not like, that's not correcting him. That's sort of raising a conversation of, I'm curious what that's going on because I'm a little confused. Telling him he should wait for me is going to be a lot more uncomfortable for the girl, and you're probably going to have a harder time getting her to do it, and maybe for the guy as well. Maybe for the guy as well. So you'll have to see what you can do. But if it's, he doesn't drop her, he leaves before she's inside, and then there's this other social thing, and then there's this other social thing, and she can raise it, but there's still something missing socially. When we come and say, oh yeah, but that's not important in life, we're really dismissing her emotional world. Maybe it's important to her life. She can't handle being with a guy who's socially slightly off. She doesn't want to have to mommy him. You know, you can't do that, and you know you're supposed to do that, and you know, if, whatever, I shouldn't turn around and find that you've disappeared from the table and you didn't say excuse me and I don't know where you are. This is a real one. You know, but maybe there's somebody who that doesn't bother. If I need to tell him, so I'll tell him. Another girl says, I can't handle that. I'll feel like his mother. And that's really not appealing. So some of it is going to also be about who your child is, as well as what you want to raise. I always get a little nervous when I hear raise everything, because I think, oh my gosh, this person is going to sound so overbearing if they raise everything. But I'm not so worried about it, because I feel like we're so at the other end of the pendulum where we raise nothing, that, you know, we have a lot of latitude to start raising things directly, as opposed to, and it's not that you're telling your child to raise everything, it's more in response. The child is coming and saying, should I be worried about this? Should I be concerned about that? What do you think I should think of this statement? What do you think I should think about that she did that? What do you think I should think that she wasn't blah, blah, blah? Instead of answering all of those with our preconceived notion or our notion based on what we have or don't have. Or, you know, this one girl who came to see me after a broken engagement, she had been seeing a therapist while she was dating the guy that she had eventually gotten engaged to and broken her engagement to. And she's telling the therapist about how, you know, his style of expressing himself to her felt very overbearing or very, very suffocating to her. Not in a bad way. He just didn't stop telling her how she looked and how he felt. And the therapist didn't stop telling her about what a good husband he'll make. But that's so nice. Every woman wants that. That's such a good husband material. But she didn't like it. She's allowed to not like it. It's not her. You want to say majority of women would like it? Maybe. Maybe. But there are women who would find that unappealing. So why are you telling her, rather than listening to her, that she's saying, I don't like it? How do I figure out if he can stop? As opposed to telling me that it should be fine with me, and so I try and figure out how to make it fine with me. Until finally I'm engaged, and I can't take it anymore, and now I have a broken engagement. Doesn't make sense to try and tell someone how they should feel about something as opposed to helping them figure it out. Okay, do one more example. Ooh, it's late.
But they're figuring out it's going to take so long. I mean, and then the girls get, or one of them getting emotional, and then if in the end you find out, okay, it's not for me, the breaking up is going to be harder. How long you continue till you find out what's the final point that, okay, I could go ahead and get married?
Well, that's a whole other talk problem.
I mean,
right. I'm talking about how to best, yeah.
I'm sorry, give you 5 minutes.
Okay,
and we have a panel presentation in the auditorium.
Okay, great. I'm talking about how to investigate on a deeper level. How long someone takes and what they have to figure out for themselves and what they have to know in order to want to marry somebody is more of an individual process. And there's a lot of individual variation depending on what part of the community you're in as to how long you're allowed to take to do that. And so that has to be taken into consideration as well. That's not for me to say. That's, you know, that's in some sense dictated to us. By the part of the community that we're in. But let's do one more example, because I just want to also bring up that it doesn't have to be a major thing for it to be some food for or some material for exploration. On our first date, I didn't know we were going to go out to eat. So I ate before and wasn't that hungry. So I ordered a salad. On the next date, I asked about plans and found out from the shotgun we were going to eat again, so I didn't eat beforehand. Nonetheless, when the waitress came to take our order, he said, oh, she's the salad type. That's what you can bring her, and I'll have whatever. I was put off and hungry. That would be me. Should I be worried that he's rude or presumptuous? Or should I think that he was just trying to take note, pay attention, which would be a good thing? It's so stupid, right? Just let it go, right?
No.
So how can we help somebody to speak up so they know what it's like? Because you can't decide that he's rude and presumptuous from that. There's a very good chance he was trying to show that he paid attention the first time and just kind of missed it a little bit. So how do we tell her to respond. Obviously, this is going to be after the fact, but, you know, there'll probably be another opportunity. Let's say the next date, something will happen. How do we help her say something so she knows what it's like to deal with this person in a situation when we're not in agreement? It's a very general agreement. It doesn't have to be a big major disagreement, but how do we help her? What should she have said, or what could she say if we could foresee the future and know that this was going to happen? Yeah.
It would be helpful for her to just say, I would so appreciate just you could a little bit check in. Not you, but I wouldn't know how I'd phrase it, but checking in with me would feel really great.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay.
And also just encouraging her that that could have gotten fixed after salad. She could have said, oh gosh, by the way, you know, I'm thinking maybe I want to add. I don't know how awkward, I mean, for young women, you know, and I'm saying just trying to encourage her that a little easing into asserting
right
in the meal, like she could have maybe gone on to get maybe just a soup or just a steak, just to be like,
right,
gosh, you know, I realized I skipped the meal today, or I don't know, you know, to kind of fix that.
Right.
But to also say to her, you know, again, I don't know how you do it without being totally confrontational.
Right.
But
right,
checking in,
right,
starting like a sentence.
And that you might feel, you know, the checking in, I appreciate if you'd check in with me, might feel like a bit much if it's only a second date and this wasn't a pattern. But that doesn't mean that saying, oh, that's so nice you remembered I got a salad last time, but I'm really hungry today.
Yeah.
You know, so that, and it's, a lot of it is, how does that feel? Does he say, oh, okay? Or does he say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that. It's a different feeling. It's a different feeling that you get being with guy A versus guy B. And I've seen it go both ways. Oh, well, okay. And, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Totally did not mean to do that. Or, oh, I'm sorry. And you're not really sure how he's taking it, but the next time when we're out to eat and he's saying, so, what do you want to eat? I don't want to make any mistakes this time. Like, is he, you know, rude and sort of a little demeaning? Is he totally, what? How does it feel? What goes on there? But when we ignore these, because the girl says to herself, okay, I'll get home, I'll eat something. We don't, how much bigger of an opportunity does really get presented in the dating process to have an interaction that could be emotional, even in this broadest sense? We don't. They don't. It doesn't get so big, usually, in this type of dating. And so we have to encourage, whether it's something that comes out overtly or just in the retelling of the dating, she happens to mention this, and she doesn't mention, like, as if she was going to be upset about it. But we have to say, you know, you should probably say something next time, because that tells you a lot. Any quick questions in general, because they're going to start their panel very, very soon. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, I think people realize this, that you have to look for emotions compatibility, that perhaps there are so many things that kids are looking for, or we look for, the spiritual, the religious, so that at some point you say to yourself, even if you don't see certain things that you know you should be looking for, the honesty, the trust, or whatever, you say, well, I have to compromise somewhere.
Right. And every person in my office who has ever been in, because they're in a miserable marriage or is out of a miserable marriage, and the second time around will say, all I care about is Mitos. When it's bad in that way, if there's a lack of Mitos, if that's the problem in the marriage, it's really hard to live with. It's really, really hard to live with.
So you think almost all other issues that would come up, like spiritual issues or religious issues, would be easier to rectify than a Mitos?
Well, if you have proper Mitos,
then you're going to meet that person halfway.
Listen, it has to be in a range. You know, if we go back to the wedding dress analogy, if I'm going into the dress shop, I'm not going to start looking in the size 2s. I have to get in range. It has to be my range. It has to fit me, but it has to be my range. Yes, it has to be the range of spirit. But when we get very, very nitpicky about that, you know what? The belt had what on the buckle? or whatever. I don't know.
So how you check the needles? This is exactly what my son asked me. Well, how you check the needles?
You talk a few times
with the girl. How do you know what this
whole piece that we just talked about? Things that are bothering you, you raise and you talk to her about. And how does she handle it? How does she talk to you about it? Is she understanding about it? Is she respectful about your feelings? Is she interested? How does that conversation go? But if you're not checking anything out that happened between the two of us, if it's not something that we're checking out that happened between the two of us, you really will just have to go on assumptions or hearsay, so to speak, about what the mitos of the person are. But the mitos of the person with their friends could be very different than the mitos of the person it's going to be with who they marry. So it's a little scary to rely on that, honestly.
That third scenario would leave me very uncomfortable if it was my child.
Which, about the salad?
The salad.
Uh-huh.
It would really leave me very, even, after once, like, if they went out a few times and each time she ordered salad, I could leave you on the salad. But after one time, it would, if my daughter came home telling me something like that, I would be very uncomfortable.
Right, but if he had this list, you wouldn't want her to investigate? Like, that's it? He made a stupid assumption?
I'm just very uncomfortable.
Okay.
It's not only controlling, it means a lot of different things.
I guess I'm not. It's so funny because everyone thinks that I'm going to be over the top with this, you know, domestic abuse and controlling. But to me, I'm like, good, investigate, say something.
It's not how could you after one time say, she's just a salad eater. I'll take my steak. Did you eat the salad?
I didn't read it like that. He thought he. I hear all the time about guys who are trying to be, you know, they're trying to be a show that they're observant. Unless you don't ask, you don't know. That's the problem. And you could wind up, if you don't ask, with something that is horrible. Or you could wind up tossing something that would have been great. And, you know, to have the first reaction be, I'll tell you about the dress, as opposed to get in it. To me, that's the biggest mistake.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if he turned to the girl because he wanted to show her that, he was her, he turned to the girl, is all you got to have is a salad again? It's on you. But turn to the waitress and say, she's a salad person.
I think the proof is in the, and that's the problem, because it puts a lot of pressure on the girl to do something that she's probably going to be very uncomfortable doing. I know we got to end. Which is to say, no, I'm actually hungrier than that. it puts, but we have to help our children be more, because to me, I'm not willing to say he's a total knockout yet. I want to know what happens when she says, oh no, I'm hungry.
Yeah, but she's not saying that. You're telling her to go back for a third date.
Right, and look for a different opportunity, because if he is presumptuous and uncaring about her, he'll do something again. And now she'll be prepared to raise it in the moment. It'll happen again. Somebody who really has that trait, there'll be another small thing. It's not just once and done. Okay, we have to end because they're having this program. Thank you for your attention. I have your email addresses and I have to go.